Welcome to the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show, a real estate investment program. Listen and learn how to use real estate to build wealth and passive income streams for you and your family. We bring you experts every day to discuss and answer your questions on everything from single-family homes all the way up to 600-plus unit apartment complexes. And now, the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show.
Welcome to the show. My name is Al Gordon, and as always, I'm working on your financial freedom. But before I do that, before I get into a discussion of what's going on in this wild and wacky real estate market that we're in, there was a story that caught my attention. Now, this is the kind of story that only guys like me with my former background will get a laser focus on. Okay, so I'll just share with you what I saw. The Army is training the first batch of Space Marines. Yeah, that whole sentence there, that's just wrong on a whole kind of different levels, because the Army is a ground force. The Army is a ground force, okay? The Space Force is, well, it's a Space Force. I mean, it's designed to work on things outside, you know, kind of where our atmosphere stops and everything else begins. Yeah. Now, Marines are actually a part of the United States Navy, but they are the combat amphibious assault element of the Navy. Yeah, so when the Navy's like cruising around all over the world in those really cool ships, they've got some tough people that are ready to go into harm's way and do the job. So I just thought it was real curious that this article says the Army is training the first batch of Space Marines, because Marines do a real good job of training Marines. The Army does a really good job of training the Army. Now, granted, some of the things we do are pretty much the same. Yeah. Yeah. Except the Army, okay, I take it back. There was a thing called D-Day. Yeah. We all got off a boat and went to war. Yeah. So, okay. So the Army does do amphibious stuff. Okay. Here's my point. I'm really just trying to break up the craziness. I am. I mean, when I saw that article, I was like, the world is definitely falling apart, because the things as I remember them, they're not behaving the same way today. Yeah. All of you that have watched different real estate cycles throughout your lifetime, I don't care how old you are. If you're really young, you have a very, very short window that you're looking at. If you're like me, you've got a couple of decades that you can go back and reflect on. And if you're older than I am, you just have a bigger arsenal. That's all there is to it. There are some really weird things going on in the marketplace. And it's got nothing to do with the government manipulating the markets like they did back in 2008. Yeah, that's Al's opinion, and I stick by it because it's been researched. That's what happened. Okay, that's not happening right now. That's my opinion. And I have shared my opinion on the show. Heck, all last week I was telling you why I think we're seeing a correction in pricing. I think that economic policies in this country prior to coronavirus were designed to keep inflation in check. And we were cruising along. I mean, 2019, I remember 2019. There were some weird things that went on in the world, you know? You remember it. And we rolled over into 2020 and we thought, okay, 2020, it's clear sailing, right? And then we got to March and everything just went off the rails. And the government did something to try and keep the country from falling apart. Yeah, trust me, the government thinks that they have all of the solutions to everything. Yeah, and they know better than us. Okay, in some areas they do, believe it or not. But in a lot of areas, yeah, I'm just one of those guys that just would rather have the government stay out of my life than meddle in my life and tell me what to do. That's just how I roll. So when coronavirus hit, what happened? Well, we all went into a state of shock. We did. We went into a state of shock. Like, what the heck is going on? We've never lived through pandemics before. Now, I actually trained for a possible pandemic event. So I had a little bit, a whole lot more insight going into it than anybody else did. But that didn't put me in a position of power. I was just like you. I was locked down. I was told I couldn't do the things that I wanted to do. I needed to stay home. We need to let this thing die off. Well, here we are, what, 15, 16 months later. And, you know, that stuff's still around. And we get a Delta variant. Okay, I got to get off my rant. So when the government stepped in, the government said, we have to save everybody. We can't let anybody have financial hardship. And part of that is because our total economy is built on money moving around. Yeah, that's really how economies work. So you've got money in your hand, and then it goes to somebody else's hand, and then it goes to somebody else's hand. Oh, and by the way, every time it changes hand, yeah, the government's got their hands in it. They're taking a little bit more out. Oh, yeah, yeah. So I think the government just basically said, you know what? We can help everybody out. We're going to send out stimulus checks. That's right. We're going to go back to that playbook. We're going to send out stimulus checks, and we're going to pay people not to go to work. Yeah. So what does that cause? What is the end effect of doing that? You're right. You're right. People, they get into a comfort zone. They get comfortable with the new normal. Hey, all of a sudden, man, I used to do a job where I was working 10 hours a day, 6 days a week, and on call the seventh day. And from the time I got there to the time I left, man, I was going 110%. I was smoked. And now I get to stay home in my beautiful little apartment. I get to hang out here. There's nobody bothering me. And the government is paying me to stay home. And people get comfortable with that kind of stuff. Okay, so where does that take us? All right, that does not take us to doom and gloom. But it does get me thinking about future opportunities. When we come back, I'm going to peel back the plan. Stick around.
Lifestyles Unlimited invites you to the world's largest wealth and passive income expo, September 3rd and 4th, Irving, Texas. Connect with successful investors and industry experts. Learn being real estate retired at any age. Attend breakout sessions with industry experts. Learn from real people successfully investing in real estate right now. Leave with your passive income plan in hand. The entire Lifestyles Unlimited team of realtors, mentors, educators, and operational consultants want to meet you Friday and Saturday, September 3rd and 4th in the Metroplex Irving Convention Center at Las Colinas. Go to wealthandpassiveincomeexpo.com.
Your challenge is that you don't believe you can be rich, is that you don't believe you can retire within 5 years. That's half of your challenge. And until you can come up with that belief system, until you can reconcile that in your mind, you won't be willing to take the steps necessary to get there. So you need to get in here and meet some people.
Join us for the next free workshop and meet the people at Lifestyles Unlimited that will share Del Walmsley's belief system and empower you to take the steps you need to be successful. Register at lifestylesunlimitedworkshop.com.
We're back with the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show. We're here to answer your questions and help you become financially free.
Welcome back to the show. All right, so sorry at the break. I was actually answering an email from one of our Lifestyles Unlimited members, a young guy, 23 years of age, just graduated college, just got into the workforce. He's got some money set aside. So, I mean, he's not starting with $0, but he's got some money set aside. And he actually asked me a question about, you know, what I thought he should do. So, to be honest, what I did is I hooked him up with my son. Yeah, because my son is doing exactly what this guy needs to do. Yeah, so I just made the connection, and that's what we do at Lifestyles Unlimited. I mean, if you come to me with a problem and I can't help you because I can't wrap my head around the problem, or I just don't have any experience dealing with that problem, not a problem. I'll just refer you to somebody that I think is smarter than I am. Yeah, I got no pride. Well, I do have pride, but you know what I mean. In the Lifestyles Unlimited community culture, people want to help. People want to help. They do. They do. And here's why I think they want to help so much. I think when they come to Lifestyles Unlimited, they've been beaten down by the grind of doing what society has told us to do for so many years. And it just wears on you. It wears on you. What you're doing right now for retirement, it is wearing on you. Trust me, been there, done that, burned the t-shirts, okay? So you come to Lifestyles Unlimited and you start listening to what we have to tell you and you start going, all right, man, I'm looking for the chinks in the armor, but I'm not seeing it. I'm not seeing any place to slide my dagger in. Yeah. And then you start to realize, once you become a member, that we're all about your success. Oh, yeah. We are all about helping you get to your desired place in life. And everything we do in Lifestyles Unlimited is, it's here for you to educate yourself. We even offer dedicated mentoring services if you feel you need those services. I mean, these are members that, like I said, they want to give back. They want to give back. So regardless of what you need within the organization, we have a way to fulfill that request. We absolutely do. And that's kind of what I was doing at the break. I was connecting a young guy with my son, who's a young guy. Yeah, because those guys understand. And look, come on, let's face it. I'm 57 years old, okay? I remember when I was 23, and I'd look up at a 57-year-old guy, and I go, oh, dude, you're kind of old. But in my version of that, he doesn't smell bad. So this is good. I didn't trust anybody at the age of 57 when I was 23. Why? Because I was young. I was invincible, and I knew everything. I just graduated college. I mean, after all, I'm the smartest of the smart, right? I mean, I'm getting ready to start an Army career, and you know what? This is going to be good. All right, I didn't listen to people in their 50s, unless they had stars on their shoulders, in which case I had no choice. Yeah, some of those guys had birds. Never mind. You know where I'm going. What I did at the break was so important. It was. Because there's a fellow member out there who's reaching out to me because he's kind of at a roadblock. And that's okay. It's totally fine. Now, I'm probably not the best guy to help him out, but for whatever reason, he trusts me. For whatever reason, he decided to come to me first. Not a problem. I don't think I'm the best guy to answer his question. So I'm hooking him up with the guy that I think is the best guy to answer his question. So the two of those guys can talk peer-to-peer because they're both starting the same place in life. They are. They've got a little bit of money. They have a desire to not do what you and I have done all of our lives. And they want to get out of that rat race because they've seen us go through that rat race. And you know what? That's not very appealing. So what I did at the break, it was a little more important to me than prepping for this segment. But the good news is I kind of already know what I was going to tell you in this segment. So let's just get into it. Okay. I was going to talk about the plan going forward. Yeah, because I think the government is creating an artificial sense of security for a lot of people in this country. Yeah, I think when we finally get to that point where we realize that this wealthy country needs to stop paying people not to work, because, you know, at a certain point, the money that they're using to pay these people is coming from tax revenues. So somebody is working, somebody is doing something to create those tax revenues so that the government can turn around and pay people not to work. Yeah. And I'll be honest with you, if I was one of those people that was being paid not to work, I probably would not be, you know, on the fast track to getting back to work. Yeah. Now, I will tell you, in the military, there is no, you go hunker down over here. The military is going to find a way to still maintain your readiness. In spite of you having to wear a mask, and in spite of you having to social distance, in spite of you having to do all the things the government tells you to do, the military was still in play. Trust me, if somebody had tried to take us out during coronavirus, that would have been a bad mistake on their part, because we're ready to turn around and whoop some you know what. But if I'd been in the civilian workforce, I guess technically I kind of am, but let's say I was working one of those jobs, like I mentioned to you earlier, you know, 10 hours a week, 6 days a week. I'm working 60 hours a week, and it's hard work. I get my 2 15-minute breaks and maybe a half an hour for lunch if I'm lucky. They're working me hard. So when the government says, hey, sit at home, what's the current video game, PS5? Is that the current version? Anyway, it doesn't matter. Sit at home, play video games, and you pay me to do that, and I don't have to go do that job. And you know what? I'm doing just fine financially. What am I going to opt for? Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, people are not stupid. People are not stupid. Okay, there's a couple of them out there, but the majority of them, no. People get it. They figure it out. And people go, you know what? If the government's going to do this for me, who am I to say no? Now, some people do say no. There are people that have value systems that they would say, no, don't do that for me. There are actually people that sent their stimulus checks back. Yeah. And, you know, if you did that and that was a personal choice, I got no issues with that. Yeah. But just keep in mind, all you did was send money back to the government. They're just going to give it to somebody else. Yeah. Okay. So what's going to happen? What is going to happen in the future? Well, there's an eviction moratorium owned by the CDC. It's hanging out there. When we come back from the break, I'm going to talk to you about that thing. Stick around.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to be a part of Lifestyles Unlimited? Del Walmsley tells you what to expect when you join us for the next live online free workshop.
We've been here for 30 years. Over 30 years, we've had and or do have roughly 50,000 plus members all over the United States. We have retired tens of thousands of people, and it's just incredible what you're going to find that you're going to be in here. Not only are you going to find the greatest amount of information and education, you're going to find the people, the most open people you've ever met in your entire life.
Come meet the people at Lifestyles Unlimited who will help you change your life and empower you to stop depending on a paycheck, your 401k, IRA, or Social Security for your future. Register at LifestylesUnlimitedWorkshop.com. At the free workshop, we'll teach you the 5 ways to make money with real estate: cash flow, equity capture, appreciation, equity buildup, and the tax advantages. Like Dell says, we'll open our books and show you how the numbers work with both single family and multifamily case studies. Register at LifestylesUnlimitedWorkshop.com.
Welcome back to the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show. Now, let's get back to your map to financial freedom.
Welcome back to the show. All right, so I'm totally going to spare you the 17 pages that I'm reading as part of the recent CDC order. Yeah, this thing is 17 pages long. And there's a lot of information in there because it's the government trying to control everything. I mean, they give a lot of citations towards why they think they have the authority to do this. It's written into Title V of public law. Okay, I get that. Okay, but here's the problem I've always had with it. I just don't see the connection between a CDC director making a decision that either Congress or the President of the United States should be making. Yeah, that's the problem I've had with this the whole time. So last month, we thought the eviction moratorium was going to be done. We did. I mean, we were told this is it. It's going to the end of June. It's over. We're going to resume normality. So what happened on the 24th of June? Well, CDC Director Dr. Rochelle Walensky signed an extension to the eviction moratorium, which prevents us from removing people from our properties if they meet certain eligibility criteria. Yeah, yeah. Now, I mean, when all of this started, it's like you couldn't remove anybody, even just the real bad apples. Yeah, you couldn't remove them. But over time, I believe that entities like the apartment associations, you know, like the National Apartment Association, and I happen to be a part of the Texas Apartment Association. I'm also a part of the San Antonio Apartment Association. And there's reasons why I have membership in those organizations, because they're my voice. They're my voice. They're my political action committee, if you will. Because if I don't have them going to bat for me up in Washington, D.C., I don't have a voice at all. I really don't. Now, okay, there are some legislators out there that are in the Gets It Club. They understand our dilemma when it comes to not being able to remove people from property that really need to go away. And there are people that are abusing, I said it correctly, abusing the CDC rules. There are people out there that are doing it. Look, you know it, and I know it, and I'm not going to name names because it doesn't matter. My point is this. This mess, this moratorium junk, even though it's kind of been watered down a little bit, because we have been able to remove certain people provided they met certain guidelines. Yeah, I mean, this is the tap dance we have to do with the government, right? We couldn't remove everybody. Now, fortunately, all my single-family properties that I own, I've got great residents. They understand they're in a contract. They understand that they're still earning money. They understand that if they don't get to live in the home I provided them, then they're going to have to suck up something else that probably isn't as nice. It's just the way I roll. Yeah. And on the apartment side, man, I'll tell you, my investments there have done much better through the coronavirus period than I ever thought. Because it gets back to us as Lifestyles Unlimited members coming together and talking through these issues. I will tell you, there have been high-level conversations within the Lifestyles Unlimited community ever since we went into lockdown in 2020. That became the number one issue that our founder and CEO, Del Walmsley, said we must address. And we've addressed it. We have addressed it. Now, I would be a fool to tell you that every single Lifestyles Unlimited member was not affected by the eviction moratorium. Yeah, we were all at one point or another affected by it. It's how we resolved it. It's how we worked with people and treated them as valuable people. Because here's the thing, man. You heard the stories about McDonald's. You know, I'm sure you've heard these stories about McDonald's, that McDonald's is not really in the business of burgers. That's just something they do. That McDonald's is really in the real estate business. If you don't know that story about McDonald's, then there's a little homework for you. Go check that story out. It'll give you a different perspective on what Ray Kroc was doing. Yeah, because McDonald's is really a real estate business that just happens to sell hamburgers, believe it or not. So what about us? I mean, we're not flipping burgers, right? No, we're not flipping burgers. But here's the important component of our real estate business. It's really not the property. Okay, the property is important. Don't get me wrong. Okay, because it's the property itself that creates the vehicle that we will operate. Yeah, yeah, that's what we own. We own that physical property. We own all the rights to that property. And when we select the right person to go into business with us, to occupy that property, we've made a business decision that will affect us for the next 12 months, because that's the normal length of a lease. Now, some people do 6 months. I don't do 6 months. You want to rent my property, I want a one-year commitment from you. As a matter of fact, I'm willing to hang with you for as long as you're willing to hang. provided you take care of the property and you pay me on time. Yeah, and if you got a problem, you let me know, because I'm going to get that taken care of, because that's how I run my business. And I'm focused on my customer. I am focused on my customer. Okay, so what does all this got to do with the CDC order? Okay, so the CDC kicked the can down the road again, all right? And this is what I think is going to eventually happen. To be honest with you, we're not a week away from this thing getting, you know, well, what am I trying to say? Okay, so you know the date, right? Okay, so this thing's supposed to go to the end of the month. Yeah. The last time they kicked the can down the road, they waited until, I think, a couple of days. Yeah, remember the news came out? We were like, okay, it's about ready to stop. And then all of a sudden, the email started flying. Hey, CDC just went another 31 days. I went, wow, not good. Because here's the problem that I see. Let me just frame the current environment for you. I think the real estate markets themselves, I think they're really healthy. I think the assets themselves, I'm gonna, again, I got to qualify, residential income producing assets. That's what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about all that other commercial stuff out there. I'm talking about residential assets. The market is healthy. I believe we are seeing a correction of pricing, which was artificially pressed downward by the government making decisions to allow, you know, somebody like a CDC director, who I still can't find the legal connection on how this person gets to tell me what I'm going to do in my life. Okay, there's something, all right, in the 17 pages, I read some crap down there. But anyway, but here's the thing. At a certain point, you're going to have to open the gates. We cannot keep doing what we are doing right now, because it's ineffective. It is creating artificial constraints on our businesses. It is creating artificial constraints, believe it or not, on the pool of renters that are out there. Because now check this out. What if you had somebody in your property that was gaming the system and really had no business being there? But if you could have gotten them out, you could have provided great housing for somebody that's not interested in doing that. Yeah. Okay, when we come back from the break, let's talk about some numbers. Let's throw some numbers out, because you need to know.
When you look at the effects of what happened in 2008 and you compare it to what we are hopefully coming out of right now, real estate has definitely shown its resiliency. It has provided for people not only a place to live, but a place to work, a place to raise their children, a place to teach their children, a place to prepare all of their meals.
And that's really where the rubber meets the road, is that there are two things that people have to have, and they strive very hard to have them. And that's a roof over their head and food on the table. And if you are investing in something related to either of those two things, you are going to have a winning strategy. And in addition to that, you're providing something of value to the people around you, and creating a win-win situation while creating wealth and passive income for yourself is the best life you can get.
Real estate is resilient. You should have real estate in your portfolio. Join us for the next live online free workshop. Register at lifestylesunlimitedworkshop.com.
Warning, listening to the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show will change your life. We will teach you how to create wealth and passive income so you can be financially free. And now, back to your host.
Welcome back to the show. All right, so what I'm doing now is I'm actually kind of stalling, because I didn't get this done at the break, and I apologize to you for wasting your time, because that's kind of what I'm doing right now, is I'm wasting your time. But trust me, it's going to be worth it. It's going to be worth it. So check this out. I said I was going to hit you with some numbers, right? All right, let's just get into it. I'm going to share with you three different deals that came across my desk yesterday. Three different deals. They're in different markets, and they came across my desk yesterday. These are all assets that are available for me to buy. So these are the assets that I will take a little bit of time, not very much time, but a little bit of time, trying to figure out if it makes sense for my investing strategy. Now, ironically, I'm not in the market for single-family houses. And every one of these particular properties that I'm going to talk to you about, well, they're all single-family houses. So you're probably thinking, you know, what's wrong with my brain? Why am I spending time looking at single-family properties if I'm not even in the market to buy single-family properties? All right, here's why. And it's got nothing to do with the fact that I do a radio show and that's kind of what I do, right? It has everything to do with understanding what the markets are doing. Yeah, everything to do with understanding what's going on in the markets. You guys remember Let's Make a Deal? Remember Monty Hall? Okay, young guys, you have no idea. I think Drew Carey's doing Let's Make a Deal. Or is that Price? I don't know. I don't watch TV. But okay, behind door number one, is a not-so-beautiful three-bedroom, one-bath house, about 1,333 square feet, built in 1955. It needs to be rehabbed. It needs to be brought to, back to its glory days. But it has the potential to put $478 into your pocket every month. Okay, so that's the Houston property, $478. All right, let's jump to another part of the country. Let's go to San Antonio. Yeah, because there's actually some pretty interesting housing stock in San Antonio. There's some garbage stuff out there. I mean, real garbage stuff, but there's some great deals out there. So this particular deal in San Antonio, it's a three-bedroom, one bath. It's 1,084 square feet, and it was built in 1949. And like the Houston property, it's tired. It needs a little work. Okay, this particular property will produce $272 a month in cash flow based on what it costs to acquire it, renovate it, what market rents are. This should produce about $272 a month. All right, now you want to know what's behind door number three. All right, door number three, we're going to go to a place called Georgia. Yeah, a little place called McDonough, Georgia. There's a three-bedroom, two-bath house out there, 1,248 square feet. A little newer, built in 74, but you know what? It's tired too, and it needs a little work. This particular property has the potential to return $606 per month in positive cash flow. $606. So here's the question. What's the best deal? What's the best deal for you? And that question is very difficult to answer unless you know exactly what your individual investing goals and objectives are. Yes, everything you buy has to resolve an issue that you raise when you sit down and do your deliberate planning for where you want to be. That's how all this works, man. That's how this works. So it seems like that the property in Georgia, I mean, it's $606 a month in cash flow. Is that a typo, Al? No, it's not a typo. That's what the analysis produces. And would you say that property in Houston was getting? Well, that property in Houston, well, that's getting $478 a month in cash flow. That's what we think it can produce. All right? So you're thinking, well, $606 is clearly better than $478. All right. That makes sense. That makes sense. So I'm guessing you've already eliminated that San Antonio property, right? That little property that's only going to pay you $272 a month. You've eliminated it. Okay, let's stop right there. If you are focused on just the cash flow, that Georgia property might be the way for you to go. But there is another element to investing in residential income producing real estate that most people, they don't get. They just don't really understand it. And if you don't understand it, that's okay. It's totally fine. We're going to teach you to understand it because you have to understand this mechanism. It has to do with equities in the property. See, when you buy a distressed property, you're going to buy it at a price point that's going to make sense so that you can acquire the property, you can do all the repairs necessary and still be at a wholesale price point. Yet the property will be valued at a retail point. So why is that so important? Okay, what it does for you is it gives you a significant jump, on what the value of that property will be. Yeah. Oh, yeah. This is something you got to think about. Okay. So there's two camps, two things we got to think about: cash flow and equity. Now, when you come to Lifestyles Unlimited and become a member, you might think, oh, I got to do this for the cash flow. I got to get retired. I got to get this done. But you can't ignore that equity capture piece, because it can be a very powerful, powerful element to the buying process. Here's the other thing I didn't tell you. I didn't tell you how much money you got to come out of pocket to do this deal. Yeah, so the key is you're going after a number, but you don't even know if that number is a good number, because you don't even know what the return on investment is for the cash flow. So you have to analyze not only the cash flow ROIs, but you have to also look at what the expected gains are on the property when you buy it at wholesale, yet command a retail price, and then what the markets are positioned to do to allow the value of that property to go up, because real estate is literally the only asset class out there that kicks inflation in the bottom. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So let's get back into this thing. All right. So let's go back to Houston property, right? All right, let me give you the rest of the numbers. So you're getting $478 a month in cash flow. That's almost $500 a month. This is not a bad deal. This is not a bad deal at all, except you need $36,000 to do this deal, because of the price points in the market, because of the cost of materials and labors, all of that stuff. You need $36,000 to do this deal. So your cash on cash return, 15.9%. That's not really bad. That's really not a bad return, especially in the craziness of this market where prices are pressing up faster than rents can keep up. Yet, and I'll probably talk about this tomorrow, yet they're trying. Okay? That's the weirdness of this market. All right, let's go back to Georgia. Georgia. It's going to cost you almost $25,000 to get that $606 cash flow return. So your cash on cash return is 22% on that particular deal. Yeah, that Georgia thing sounded kind of good now, isn't it? All right, let's jump back to San Antonio. Let's see if this particular deal is good. You're going to need about $22,000 to do the San Antonio deal. $22,000. So it's a little bit less than the Georgia deal, but you're only getting $272 on this particular property. It's a 15% cash on cash return. This is where I want to end this, because I could literally go on into the next show. A couple things you need to take away from this. A 15% return on your money cash on cash in today's real estate market is very good. And it's not the only way you're making money. Also, depending on how much money you have to put into the investment, that's going to set you up as to whether or not you can or cannot buy any of these particular properties. So the Houston property, good cash flow, really good cash and cash return, estimate out of pocket, little high, and the capital gains, kind of small. San Antonio property, okay, this is not the right property for you to buy. Trust me, go away. But this Georgia property, holy smokes. Oh, and here's the other thing I didn't tell you. There's an opportunity in that property to capture $63,000 in equity. $63,000. Now, I'm not telling you need to go invest in Georgia, but I am telling you this. You need to understand before you act.
Thank you for listening to the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show. Ready for more of the map? Visit lifestylesunlimited.com. Explore our videos and articles. Click on the radio tab to access past show podcasts. View the radio show schedule and listen to our best of radio shows. Want to continue the conversation? Follow Lifestyles Unlimited on Facebook today. Join us next time. And until then, remember, it's not the money, it's the lifestyle.
The The information and opinions you hear on the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show are those of the host, guests, and callers and do not necessarily reflect the opinions of this station, its affiliates, its management, or advertisers. The Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show is for entertainment purposes only. Please consult a professional regarding your personal investment needs. Nothing presented on the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show constitutes an endorsement, recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or security.